will make confession of faith for the Church of the Reformation using the Canons of Dort, First Head of Doctrine, Article 1, 2, and 3. As all men have sinned in Adam, lie under the curse, and are deserving of eternal death, God would have done no injustice by leaving them all to perish and delivering them over to condemnation on account of sin, according to the words of the Apostle, that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God, Romans 3, verse 19, and verse 23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and Romans 6, verse 23, for the wages of sin is death. But in his love, but in this the love of God was manifested, that he sent his only begotten Son into the world, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish, but have everlasting life. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. 1 John 4, verse 9. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3, verse 16. And that men may be brought to believe, God mercifully sends the messengers of these most joyful tidings to whom he will and at what time he pleaseth, by whose ministry men are called to repentance and faith in Christ crucified. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? Romans 10, verse 14 and 15. Next, we'll turn for the scripture reading this evening to the Gospel according to John, chapter 21. John 21, and we'll read from verse 1 through 14. John 21, verse 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter, and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Canaan in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, Children, have ye any meat? They answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciple came in a little, and the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, Bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153, and for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou? Knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh, and taketh bread, and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples, after that he was risen from the dead. Here ends the reading of God's word.
The text from the part that is read from the scriptures, from the Gospel of John, chapter 21, is especially what we read in the words of John himself in verse 7. It is the Lord. It is the Lord. Congregation, when we are together here this evening, at this special occasion, with hearts full of thankfulness because the Lord is giving us a new minister, Pastor Budding, who you know already for many years, is after this service your own pastor. It belongs to you. You will become his congregation. What a grace it is. And I know how glad you are. I heard it several times from younger people and older. What a blessing it is. But the danger is when we say that too much, when we look unto ourselves as a congregation, when we look as a pastor to our congregation and congregation to our pastor, that we are too much looking at ourselves, as you understand what I mean. And therefore, the only thing I feel called to this night is to say to you what John says in the text of our scripture. It is the Lord. It's the Lord who deserves all the glory and the praise. And I think you all agree. You will agree as congregation. You will agree as pastor. And when that is the beginning of the ministry of Reverend Budding, and when the Lord is using him for you all, for the children, the young people and the elder people, I'm sure that the longing of his heart is that you all come to know in your life that you say, it's not Pastor Budding, it's the Lord. It's him alone who we give all the glory and praise. There's nothing better than when a congregation and a pastor forget themselves and come together in the wonderful glory of the saving Lord. But still, we are looking at ourselves and we are having our thoughts, and it's a wonderful occasion. Time is too short to say too much, but when I come back 30 years ago, I think I remember having been present with the installation service of one of the small Dutch islands of Zeeland, in a place of Scherpenisse where you never have heard about. Maybe your pastor will tell you about it when you're going to meet him, where he started his ministry. And I can still remember, he was a little bit ahead of me in his studies and ministry. But I was present at his installation service then. And the ways of the Lord are wonderful. And I feel blessed that I have the occasion to be present at his last installation too, because that it will be as we expect. And I should ask Pastor Budding, when you think back these 30 years, must be somewhere about 30 years, 78, and now, what has happened in your ministerial life and in all the churches and all the experiences, all the people you met and all the work the Lord used you for? I hope you will say, together with your wife and your loved ones that are in the Netherlands, when we bring it to the final thing, it's all thanks to the grace of this wonderful Lord who has used me, who has called me to his wonderful service and still is using me for that in this strange part for us. Not really a strange part of the world. We come and go sometimes, but now you have to stay here at the other side of the ocean. 30 years of ministry behind you. And how far have you come in these years? I think about these disciples of our Lord Jesus Christ. They had 3 years of very intensive ministry. They were day and night very close with their master, who had called them in the beginning, just from their ships out of the sea, to be with them and to become fishermen of men. But now we meet them after the resurrection of Christ. We meet them again in 3 years. How far have they come? What have they learned in all these years? What is a disciple? What is a minister of Christ when he is on his own? The beginning of the last chapter of the Gospel of John, we meet the disciples as if they have gone back to the start. After all what happened. And Apostle John tells us that it's the way that Jesus is going to show himself, to reveal himself to them and to his church. But it is a wonderful and a strange way. Because the first thing in this revelation is what we read in this chapter, is that he reveals himself, let us say, in three things. If I sort three thoughts, I want to explain to you. The first is in the disappointment and the failure of ministers. The second in the obedience of ministers. And the third in the praise of the ministers. These three things I read here. But it all has to do with the beginning and the end of this part of John's Gospel 21. It is the way that the Lord reveals himself. Also, that beginning, when Peter and the other apostles were back at the place where they came from, and when Jesus called them in the beginning, and he told them, you have to go to the Sea of Galilee and there you will see me. But they didn't know when or how. And they didn't know what to do during the waiting time. And at a certain moment it became too long for Peter, and he said to the others, let us go out and take the fisher's boat again and we go fishing. And yes, some others said, Peter, we go with you. And there we see them in their fisherman's clothes, on their boat, at sea. Just back to the beginning. To that moment before Jesus called there. Fishing again. But it didn't go as they wanted it to go. Exactly the opposite. In that night, John says, in that night they caught nothing. Not a small little fish. Nothing. And what I'm wondering about is why did it happen that at that moment they thought, do you remember? Do you remember? This happened before, 3 years ago. And that was the night before Jesus stood at the shore and called us. Now even John did not remember. The only thing that was in the morning when that stranger was at the shore and asked them, do you have some fish? That they only said very shortly and absolutely not gladly, no. They were a total failure. Even not capable for their old trade anymore. What does that mean, dear congregation? Is that the way the Lord reveals Himself? It's very strange when we say yes. Also, that belongs to the revelation of the Lord. Not only for the ministers, but for every one of you. When there is failure, disappointment, when we don't catch nothing, when we don't catch anything, what does it mean when we just make a spiritual application? We think, how far away is the Lord when we are on our own, when we only have ourselves and we don't succeed and we have nothing? But we don't know how close He is. The darker the night is, that night, the closer by the morning is. Belongs to the revelation of the Lord to let us know that we cannot do anything without Him. Without Him we are nothing. They caught nothing. What an experience. What a humbling experience too. We should have thought these disciples, they have been with the Lord 3 years. They had their difficult times. But they knew that He died on the cross, but He had risen. That was not any doubt anymore. But without Him, everything is nothing. They on their own are nothing. That's really a spiritual lesson. Especially also for experienced fishermen. The Lord reveals Himself by showing Himself in our failures and disappointments. Not when we are strong, not when we have a feeling that we can do anything for Him and for His service and we are really confident in ourselves. We know we can do it. When I'm weak, then I'm powerful. That was also something that the Apostle Paul didn't believe before. He was praying 3 times to get rid of his thorn in the flesh, but the Lord told him, my grace is sufficient for thee. So the Lord is humbling us every time and again. Without Him, we can do nothing. And what a blessing it is when we experience that. When His Holy Spirit brings that into our hearts. Also, not only in the ministerial life, but in the life as a child of God, that you become not something or someone. Without Christ, we are nothing. But Christ knows to make everything out of nothing. And He still wants to use such people that are so much ashamed because they cannot give this stranger a fish even. Revelation of the Lord Jesus. He reveals Himself. It's the third time, John says. That's not just the count, but that's always God's time. And the way He reveals Himself is by bringing this, by calling these disappointed fishers, these disappointed disciples, by His word, to do something strange. Something they should never do, because they knew better than these strangers how to fish, of course. They were fishermen from birth. The moment they have to say to the stranger, "We cannot present you any fish," the stranger said, "You should cast out your net on the right side of the ship." And that is a very strange command, because when you do it at that side, where the steering of the ship is done, I think it's the ship, you cannot handle the ship anymore, and also not the net. But what a miracle it is that they didn't ask questions or start a discussion. They immediately did what the stranger said, without any question. This obedience. No explanation. Not why are you giving us that command? Do you see the fishes in the sea, or do you know better than we do? No. These are really humbled people. But the only thing they can do is listen to what is said to them. And they didn't know it was Christ at the moment. He kept their eyes closed. But He was already working in their lives. As it maybe, and sometimes still is, that Christ is always working before we know Him, before we really know Him. But afterwards we can say, He was already there. And He was there in my misery, in my disappointment, in my feeling of unworthiness. But He was there. He is busy with me. He's revealing Himself. What a wonderful Christ it is. He doesn't call people who are so self-assured. They know, of course, Christ can use me. I can do His work. No, just these people, humble people. But still, listening to what He says, obedient to His word. And a very strange obedience it is. They do what He says. At the moment when they do it, we know the stories. The miracle happens. And immediately the net is full of fishes. More than they ever had. And at that moment John's eyes are opened. And he says to Peter, "It is the Lord. Who else can it be who gives this miracle? It is the Lord, do you know? Years ago, but it's His miracle. He is there." In the moment they obeyed His word, the moment they did what He said, although they didn't understand why and how, but they did what He said, they gave their hearts and all their protests away, just only to keep the word of God, nothing more. The preacher Kohlberger says, "The Lord kept all the fishes out of the net till that moment, just to test them, that when they just accept the word, just obey what he says, then they experience his miracles, that he is there. That's the way the Lord is working also nowadays. Therefore, he sends his ministers everywhere to bring his command and his word to people. And therefore, your pastor congregation is bringing that word of Christ. He is the mouthpiece of Christ to thee. And he's not saying all the things you like or you understand always. We have a heart that is so much against the word of God. It's to be convicted that we have to accept it. Not to protest anymore, but to bow down for his word. But what a grace it is when the Holy Spirit is working through that word, through the word of your pastor, and you learn to do what the word says. Not what your pastor says, but what Christ, the Lord, through your pastor says to you. And then you experience, it's not me, it's not my faith, not my accepting. It is the Lord who's working his fruits in my life through his word. What a wonder it is, what a miracle, when the Lord reveals himself also in that obedience of us. It's not our obedience. It's not that he is dependent on our willingness to listen. Also our obedience is created by his grace, and it's good that it is in that way, because who should ever be obedient? If the Lord should be dependent on our obedience, who should ever listen? But his word is a power and strength. The word of the Son of God, who even calls the dead back to life. It is the Lord. And when he uses his word, wonders will happen. Like there on the shore of the lake of Galilee. The Lord reveals himself in the obedience of his ministers, and all who believe in him that shall be saved. And it ends with the praise of that one word. It is the Lord. John glorifies his master. And Peter doesn't know what to do, and he jumps out of the ship to be as fast as possible at the feet of his Lord. A lot of things has to be done, and we will hear of it later, also in this service. But at that moment, they draw that net close to the shore, and they bring it at the feet of Jesus. And in that net, 153 big fishes, and maybe also some small, but they are all counted. Let us not take too much time to just enumerate all the explanations that are giving about that 153. I found a very strange one of the church Father Augustine. I think he said 153, that's 10 and 7. 10, that's the fullness. A holy number of 10. 10 care 10. And 7. 7 is the Holy Spirit, the 7 spirits of God. And when you add 7 to 10, you get 17. But then how do you come to 153? Well, Augustine says, when you make this adding, you start with 1, plus 2, plus 3, plus 4, plus 5, plus 6, up to 17. Then you come to 153. And indeed, if you try it, it's true. But I don't think that is really the explanation. We don't know why it is 153, but I can accept that Augustine was thinking about it, because it has a meaning. Although we're not sure which meaning. But let it be this meaning that every fish in that net was counted. Every fish in that net was important. 153, all the members of your church, dear congregation, fit in that net, and there can be more with them. That's maybe also something we have to say tonight. Maybe next time when visitors come, 153 are in the net, but even if there are more, it's not really a restricted number or something like that. No. The fishes in the net of the Lord are without any number in His heavenly glory. But it means that every fish counts. Every person, great or small, young or old, counts. Not for the fishers, but for the Lord. And with every fish, it's that important that they are drawn out of that dark sea where they before belonged to. Where they were swimming in the liberty, like we all do by nature. We like to be in this dark sea of the world of sin and our own things, but the Lord gives a net, and He gives ministers, fishermen, who cast out that net. And the fishes have to be caught into that net, and the net will not tear. It's also something special. Sometimes you have a feeling as a minister, what is the preaching of the Word of God? What a weak thing it is. Especially this time, with so much unbelief, and so many things are brought against the Word of God. It's torn by pieces, but no, said John, the net was not torn. The Word of the Lord is stronger than the strongest thing in the world. And everyone who is caught into that word will be drawn up to the shore. The shore, that's the metaphor for the eternal life. The shore of the sea of darkness where we are in our element. But the Lord wants to catch us out of that element. To bring us at His feet. To find life in Him. It's a wonderful, wonderful work to do. And your new pastor congregation, he came all the way to the other side of the big sea, a little bit bigger than the Sea of Galilee. And he comes to cast the net of the gospel into the sea here in Grand Rapids. The fishes that are counted in that net, and I hope the Lord will make clear that you are these fishes that are at the shore, at the feet of Christ. They themselves become fishermen too. So many more nets have to be cast out, because so many people are going and are living for eternal damnation if they are not caught into that net. And they don't want to be caught in that net. As you, when you are a fish in that net, you know, I didn't want to be caught in that net, but the Lord, He came. He drew me near to Him. And now I'm caught in that net, that saving net. In the Netherlands, we sometimes have I'm not a fisherman, but when people catch fishes, they put them in a leef net. A net to live, but I think it's a wrong word, because maybe they're going to die in that net, but they stay alive. And so we have to be caught into the leef net, in the living net of God, so that we are really living fishes for His catch, for eternal glory. That we may say, because the Lord has called us, not we, but He has called us. He has called us. We belong to Him. And we may in this life and forevermore say and praise Him. It is the Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Lord, we thank Thee for all Thou hast given in Thy word, in that net that is cast out in the deep sea of miserable sinners, to catch thy fishes, and every one of that fishes shall come at thy feet. That's sure. That's what thy word tells us. And what we have to do is not, we cannot bring the fishes into the net, not as a minister, not as people of the congregation. We cannot bring the fishes in the net. That's thy work. But we can cast out the net. And pray and hope and believe and experience that thou bringst them in, that are to be caught for eternal life. O Lord, what a gracious work it is. Thy work. Thou revealest thyself. And we don't say, it's me or it's us in the church. But from the beginning till the end, may that be the fruit of the preaching also of our new pastor, that we all together are praising thee more and more for thy work in our own lives, the lives of the children, the youngsters, the elder people, through all the disappointments and through all the convictions of we are, but also in obedience to thy word, but also in just experiencing that thy word is true in our lives and everywhere, that we may glorify thee and confess thee from now on till eternity. Bless the work of our new pastor, that we all may say, and that we all may praise thee. It is the Lord. Amen.
Let us pray. Almighty God, who hast given Jesus Christ, thy Son, to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, and who by thy word and spirit hast numbered us among thy people, pour out upon us, we pray thee, the gift of the Holy Spirit, that we, being cleansed from our sins, may be kept in faith and obedience to thy word. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Beloved brothers and sisters in Christ, it is known to you that we have, on three different occasions, published the name of our brother who is here present with us tonight, to learn whether any person had anything to offer concerning his life or his doctrine, why he might not be installed as the pastor and teacher of this congregation. Since nothing of scriptural import has been alleged against him, we shall therefore, in the name of the Lord, proceed to invest him with this sacred office. Holy Scripture teaches us that God, our Heavenly Father, gathers to himself from among all the lost children of men a church to life eternal, and that in this work of grace he is pleased to use the ministry of men. The Lord Jesus provided, as St. Paul writes, that some should be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the building up of the body of Christ. Ephesians 4, verses 11 and 12. It is evident from Scripture that the responsibility of the minister of the word is threefold. First, to proclaim the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. From the Word of God, to instruct, to admonish, to comfort, and reprove according to everyone's need, and to refute with the Holy Scriptures all schisms and heresies contrary to pure doctrine. And also, to call upon the name of the Lord on behalf of the whole congregation, to administer the sacraments which the Lord has instituted as seals of his grace, as is evident from the command given by Christ to the apostles and through them to all his ministers, and to care for the flock of Christ, and also to govern the church of God in the manner the Lord has ordained. For Christ, in speaking of Christian discipline, said to his apostles, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. And whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." It is a tremendous responsibility to be a minister among the people of God, among the church of Jesus Christ. Pastor Buddy, I would ask you to please stand. That it may appear to all here present that you, our brother in Christ, are willing to accept this holy office as thus described, you are to answer sincerely these questions. Do you believe in your heart that you are called by God, by God's church, and are therefore by God Himself to this holy ministry? Do you believe the books of the Old and New Testaments to be the Word of God and therefore the perfect doctrine of salvation? And do you reject all doctrines contrary thereto? Do you promise to discharge your office faithfully according to this doctrine and to adorn it with a godly life? Also, in case you should become delinquent in either life or doctrine, to submit yourself to ecclesiastical admonition according to the ordinance of our church. And do you promise to be loyal to the witness and work of the Reformed Church in America, using your utmost endeavor to further her mission both at home and abroad? And will you, with the help of God, strive to fulfill all the duties of a minister of Christ, preaching the Word of God sincerely, administering the holy sacraments in purity, maintaining proper discipline in the house of God, and shepherding the flock faithfully? Pastor Buddy, what is your response?
Yes, truly, with all my heart.
Thanks be to God. Would you please come forward? As you become a member also, and primarily in the classes of South Grand Rapids, as this part of the body of Christ, we would ask you to read and to declare your agreement with this statement of faith.
Dirk Jan Budding, in becoming a minister of the Word of God in the Reformed Church in America, within the classes of South Grand Rapids, sincerely and gladly declare before God and with you that I believe the gospel of the grace of God in Jesus Christ, as revealed in the Holy Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments, and as expressed in the standards of the Reformed Church in America. I accept the Scriptures as the only rule of faith and life. I accept the standards as historical and faithful witnesses to the Word of God. I promise to walk in the Spirit of Christ, in love and fellowship within the Church, seeking the things that make for unity, purity, and peace. I will submit myself to the counsel and admonition of the classes, always ready, with gentleness and reverence, to give an account of my understanding of the Christian faith. I will conduct the work of the Church in an orderly way
and according to the liturgy and the book of church order, trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ for strength, I pledge my life to preach and teach the good news of salvation in Christ, to build up and equip the church for mission in the world, to free the enslaved, to relieve the oppressed, to comfort the afflicted, and walk humbly with God. I ask God and you, his servants, to help me so to live until that glorious day when joy and gratitude we stand before our great God and King.
Please sign.
I would ask all the members of the Providence Reformed Church to please stand. Members and children, everyone belonging to this congregation, baptized and by confession. Beloved in the Lord, I charge you to receive Reverend Budding as your minister in the Lord with gladness, and to hold him in high regard for his service to Christ among you. Remember that God himself speaks and appeals to you through him. Receive the word which he, according to the scriptures, shall preach to you, not as the word of man, but as it is in truth the word of God. Obey those who have the rule over you and submit yourselves to their authorities. For they watch over your souls as those who must give account to God, that they may do it with joy and not with grief. If you do these things, it shall come to pass that the peace of God shall enter into your hearts and your homes. And you who receive this man in the name of a prophet shall receive a prophet's reward. And though through his preaching and believing in Jesus Christ, you shall, through Christ, inherit eternal life. In the name and by the authority of the classes of South Grand Rapids, I now declare that the pastoral relationship between Reverend Derek John Budding and the congregation of Providence Reformed Church is fully constituted, and that the Reverend Derek John Budding is the lawfully installed pastor and teacher of this congregation. The congregation may be seated. Reverend Budding, and your wife, where is she? And your children who have come with you, we welcome you into this holy and blessed occasion with great joy. And we are pleased that the Lord has sent you to be with us and to serve with us here. We welcome you. It is my earnest prayer that, as I trust it is for everyone here tonight, that the Spirit of Christ will continue to fill you and guide you and bless you in every way. For when you are led by the Spirit of Christ, then Christ will be glorified in your ministry, as Reverend Vandenberg has so beautifully and rightfully expressed. The glory goes to the Lord, not to ourselves. I look forward to working and praying and fellowshipping together with you in the years to come. And to the congregation at Providence, I want to also express my joy for you on this occasion. It has been my privilege to walk beside you for several years now. It was 10 years ago when I first met with several of your elders and others of your consistory at Jerry's Restaurant in Granville for the first time. I also remember the evening that when I met with you to share with you some of the things about the history, the beliefs, and the doctrines and the missions of the Reformed Church in America as you were considering become a part of this part of the body of Christ. I have also been blessed by the times of fellowship that I have had with Walt and with Mark and Jim and Don and so many others of you. I'm honored to call you my brothers and sisters in Christ. With the Apostle Paul, I can truly say that I thank my God on every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, making request for you all with joy, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will complete it until the day of Christ. In the name of Jesus Christ, I commend you as a congregation for your perseverance under pressure. Over these last 10 years that I have been walking alongside of you, I know that you have gone through many difficult times and many tests. And we know that, as the Apostle Peter said, in Peter 5, verse 8, our adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. And that we must resist him and be steadfast in the faith. This you have done, congregation, here at Providence, even through those terrible times following the great fire that devastated this building. How I remember coming into here during those days and watching some of you labor here, and it smells much better in here now than it did for a long time. But you persevered through all of that. I commend you for that. The Lord is faithful to those who place their trust in him. And I commend you for your perseverance, but I'm also led of the Lord to challenge you to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 to 3 says, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. As you gather here as a congregation from week to week to praise and worship God, and as you give witness to Christ through the ministry of the Lord gives you into this neighborhood and beyond this neighborhood even into the world, remember that you are surrounded with a cloud of witnesses. That is, those who for generations before you have praised the Lord, worshiped the Lord, served the Lord here in this world. We are surrounded by those who have gone before us. A cloud of witnesses. And so I challenge you to let nothing distract you from seeking the Lord with all your heart. And as the Bible says, looking to Jesus. Looking to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. This building, as beautiful as it is, this ministry, this servant of God, who has come now to work among you and with you. You as a congregation. None of this is about building the kingdom of God for ourselves. It is about building God's kingdom for the glory of God. Keep looking to Jesus. And finally, let me share with you the words of encouragement from Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 11, where it says, I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. God has thoughts, has plans for you as a congregation. They're already in place. Our role is to be obedient to God so He will be able to bring forth those plans. And so, continue to persevere, even under pressure. For there will be pressure. Satan has not gone away yet. Oh, he has been defeated, but he has not gone away yet. So continue to persevere, even under pressure. Continue to make this a mission outpost for the kingdom of God. Not for ourselves, but for the God. And lay everything else aside and keep looking to Jesus Christ. Then the will of the Lord will be fulfilled in you, and you will be blessed in every way. Since no one is sufficient unto these things in ourselves, let us call upon God with prayer and thanksgiving. Let us pray. Merciful Father, we thank Thee that it has pleased Thee to gather to Thyself from among the lost children of men, a church to life eternal. And that in this work of grace, Thou dost use the ministry of men. We bless Thee for graciously providing the church in this place with a faithful minister, a servant of Jesus Christ. We pray Thee to qualify him daily more and more by Thy Holy Spirit, and for the ministry to which Thou hast chosen and called him. Enlighten his understanding to comprehend Thy holy word. Give him the utterance that he may boldly and faithfully proclaim Thy gospel. Endow him with wisdom to govern the people over whom you have set him. Grant him patience to bear the difficulties and troubles which he may meet in his ministry. That being strengthened by the comfort of Thy Spirit, he may remain steadfast to the end and be received with all your faithful servants into the joy, the joyful presence of our Lord. Give Thy grace also to this people and preserve them in your peace, that they may acknowledge him to be sent of Thee. That they may receive his word with all reverence and submit themselves to his exhortations, to the end that they may, by his word and believing in Christ, be made partakers of eternal life. Hear us, O Father, through thy beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Let me read from the Word of God, the Gospel according John, chapter 21, the verses 15 till 19. The Gospel according John, chapter 21, the verses 15 till 19. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my lambs. He saith to him again, the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? he saith unto him, Ye Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved, because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself, and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee, and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he says unto him, Follow me. Let's first the Lord ask his blessing. O Lord, we are unworthy to preach the glorious gospel, such a holy gospel, such a wonderful gospel, such a wonderful Savior, such a wonderful God. O Lord, how unclean are our lips, how we need the power of thy blood, how we need the strength of thy spirit. And therefore we pray, O Lord, enable us to be thy servant faithfully and to serve thee also this night in the preaching of the gospel, and bless us to the soul of each of us, so that we may sense that thy word is not in words, but in power, in the power of the Holy Spirit to convince us, to convict us from our sin, so that we see it, really see it, maybe for the first time, how we are before thee, poor and wretched sinners, worthy to be cast away forever. Or that our eyes may be opened for the beauty, the glory of Christ, and we are enabled to embrace him by a true saving faith, to see the Savior. O Lord, to grant thy peace, thy love in our hearts, so that we honestly can say, O Lord, thou knowest all things, thou knowest that I love thee. O Lord, pour out thy love in the hearts of our children, that they may seek thee early. O Lord, draw our young people near to thee, so that they may see how vain this world is, that they may smell how bitter sin is, how sweet Christ is. How sweet forgiving love in the heart of a young man or woman. O Lord, work with thy Spirit in each of us, so that the world may be blessed to thy glory. O Lord, help us to explain thy word according to the meaning of thy Spirit, so that we may nothing add to it and nothing diminish to it, but are unable to preach thy full gospel and to glorify thy name. O Lord, help us to thy glory. We ask it only for Jesus' sake. Amen. Dear congregation and all which are gathered around the glorious gospel tonight, with the help of the Lord, I want to preach the gospel to you according you find in some words from the gospel according John 21, verse 16, the last verse, the last stems, only this word, feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. That's the theme of the sermon tonight. In the first place, we see the commander who says this, feed my sheep. In the second place, we see the commanded, to whom is it said. In the third place, we see the command. My dear little children, I say it for you another time. It's very easy for you. Feed my sheep. The commander, the commanded, and the command. I want to begin my ministry among you, dear congregation, with a question. And I think it's the most important question of your life. And on the honest answer, it depends where you shall be in eternity. For we work and live in the light of eternity. The question is this, and I ask you to give an answer in your heart, in the presence of the all-knowing God. This is the question for you all. Do you love Christ? Do you love Christ? What's the answer? How happy, eternal happy, when you can say with all your heart, Lord, thou knowest all things, I love thee. What a grace, a wonderful grace. The Lord of our Lord Jesus Christ poured out in your soul by the Holy Spirit. Your most beloved one, Christ. But how endless sad. When you hear from the love of Christ, you don't love him. When you hear of his offering, his sacrifice, how he gave himself for the chief of sinners, and you should not yet love him for everyone, also in our midst, which does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, is a curse. Maranatha. Jesus comes. Only when we love Christ, we can be useful in his service. That can be clear for everybody. That's in natural life so. How can a mother be useful for her child when she doesn't love her child? How can a husband be useful for his wife when he doesn't love his wife? How can we be useful in the church of God when we don't love Christ? That was the question to the Apostle of Peter. Before the Lord gave his command, feed my sheep. No one is able to do it unless he loves Christ. Christ is so worthy to be loved. Did you see it? Did the Holy Spirit reveal Christ to your soul? more beautiful than the children of man. His eyes was fixed on him, the eyes of faith. And if you embraced him by true saving faith, my Lord, my God, what a peace, what a happiness bring this in your soul. The peace which goes above all understanding. Peter, he knew that. But before we speak some words about Peter, we speak first about Christ, the commander. He is the first, he is the last. And that's my desire, that Christ shall be the center of the preaching. That Christ shall be the center of your life, so that you know him as your own personal Savior, and you go by him through the Father, and you live out of him in the power of the Spirit to bring forth the fruits of the Spirit. Who is the commander? Christ himself, the risen Savior, who conquered death and hell, with all might and power in heaven and earth. It's his command. Feed my sheep. His own authority is behind this command. Therefore, you must think away that little man in the pulpit. He is not important. But Christ is important. And when he is sent by Christ, he comes with the authority of Christ. And then you cannot reject him. Oh, dear friends, see it. Behind the preacher sent by Christ, you hear himself. What shall you do with his word then? Oh, don't reject Christ. He himself gives the authority to this, his command. When I was 19 years old, the Lord called me powerfully with these words. Feed my sheep, in Dutch. Hoed mijn schapen. Keep my sheep. These words came very powerfully to my soul when I was 19 years old. That I couldn't reject that call, resist. It was, and he was stronger than I was. And I was made willing to serve the Lord in the preaching of his gospel. The Lord allowed it me to do it more than 30 years now. And when I had to make the decision to accept the call to your congregation or not, these words came very powerfully back to my soul. And they gave me the liberty to accept this call. And therefore, I'm standing before you in the name of my sender to feed your souls. He is the commander. And he commanded me to come to you. And let it be our prayer that you may receive a lot of health food, and that you all shall become good eaters, that you are be filled with Christ, with this commander. Who is it? I said it's our Lord himself, our risen Lord. He has all might and power. And therefore we come not only in his authority, but also in his strength. Oh, we are weak. We can do nothing. And the Lord makes us that feeling more and more, so that we shall not can glorify in ourselves or in a minister. Oh, don't do that. give all glory to Him. Then shall we be blessed together. Don't praise a minister, don't praise a man. Praise only Christ. He grants His power, His strength in our weakness. Maybe you experience that, I hope it. For every child of God knows what it is. Oh Lord, I'm so empty. I cannot preach. Oh Lord, I'm so sinful. I dare not preach. I cannot pray. I cannot do what Thou asks. In me is nothing, O Lord. Lo, I am with you all the days, with all my power, with all my strength, with all my love, with all my righteousness, with all my fullness. And out of His fullness we receive, and we can give you a rich meal. That's the first thought. The commander. We see in this point still another thing, that is His great love. That will break your heart. That this good shepherd is so concerned about you that He sent you a messenger to feed your poor souls, to seek and to save among you what is lost. Oh, see the great love of Christ. He is working among you. And why? Only His free, sovereign grace. No reason in us, but only everything from Him. Now our second point, the commanded one. We know him all. Peter. Who was Peter? Dear little children, you all heard of Peter. And you all can tell me something from the Apostle of Peter, isn't it? One of the most beautiful things we read from him is this. He was brought to Jesus. By whom? By his own brother. Question, another question. I like it to put questions. Then you have something to do when you are listening. Then you need to answer. Did you bring someone to Christ already? How many souls have been saved by your prayer, by your witness? And the love of Christ is in your heart, friend. You like it so much that other ones share in it. Come go with us to that blessed Savior. His own brother, Andreas. He said, come, we have found a Savior. Come to Him, come along with me. And he did, by grace. Oh, that's nice, isn't it? When we all become ministers in that way. If we all have the desire to bring sinners to Christ by our life and witness. That's one thing we read from Peter. But some more nice things which are needed. This is the first thing. He came to Jesus himself. He became united with Christ with a true saving faith. And he had confessed him as the Son of the living God. Not only because he learned it by head, for that we all know, but by the revealing of the Father. Christ must be revealed in our souls. Christ is hidden before our natural eyes. We are blind. But oh, wonderful moment and our eyes are opened for the glorious divine glory of Christ. And we see Him by faith. We have seen His glory, the glory as the only begotten Son of the Father. Did you see Christ? Did you see His glory? When we preach Christ, we must know Christ. We must see Christ. Christ must be revealed to our souls. Thou art the Son of the living God, not only by heaven, but with all our heart and existence, so that Christ lives in us and we live in Him. And so we shall be faithful witnesses. That shall give the power to the preaching. How terrible is it when a minister preaches an unknown Christ? We must know Christ. And when we know Him, we have the desire to know Him more, to see Him again in His ordinances, in His word, in the sacraments, in the songs. Peter had also experienced in his life the power of the Word of God. The kingdom of God is not in words, but in power. I hope, my dear congregation, that we may receive by grace, and let me pray and wrestle for it, much of the power of the Word of God, so that we are touched by it, are changed by it, are be renewed by it. When a lot of people went away from Christ, for his preaching was too hard. And the Lord asked Peter and the other disciples, "Wilt thou not go away too? O Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life." And he felt in his soul, by the power of the Spirit, united with the Word. It was a hard word, it was a difficult word, it was a word against flesh and blood, and yet it was a saving word. It was the word of God. Till in the deepest of his soul, he was convicted of the truth of the word of God. That's what we need. When we preach the gospel, when we speak about the gospel. It was Peter. It is true, he made a deep fall. In the beginning of his ministry, he felt himself often number one. He was the first. He always spoke. And that had been changed. That must be changed. And sometimes the deep fall. He never had thought that he could fall so deep. That he with curses and oaths denied that he knew his Lord. And yet it was, in a certain sense, a happy lie. A lie is in itself nowhere happy, nothing happy. But he said, "I don't know him." And yet he knew him. It's far more said, friends, when you say, "I know him," and you don't know him. When you say, "I love him," and you don't love him. Peter made a deep fall. He said, "I don't know him." And yet he knew him. And the Lord was praying for him. And he had to learn what we all have to learn evermore. That all depends only on the prayer, the sacrifice, the faithfulness of our Lord Jesus. And when we flee far away, he comes and seeks us, brings us back. Changes us. For Peter writes later on,
become clothed with humility. And that's what he has taught by grace, to be the last one, to be the most unworthy minister of all the church. And yet the Lord gave him this nice command, feed my sheep. And then we are useful, then we are really humbled. When we are pride, also hidden with humbleness, we cannot be useful. We are seekers of our own glory. But when we are really humbled, by grace, O Lord, I'm really nothing. Nothing, nothing. Then Christ is everything. All in all. Oh, let us pray together, my dear congregation, to be humbled more and more before the Lord. For that's the place we need, at His feet, to be nothing, so that Christ can be all. He received the command, feed my sheep. In the third place, we see the command itself. I told you already, the word feed my sheep can also mean keep my sheep. Can even also mean rule my sheep. In the Greek, it contains everything what is the work of a shepherd. Everything. And therefore, you see different translations, also in the King James Version. The same word is sometimes translated by to rule. And here it is translated by to feed, and in our Dutch Bible it is translated by keep my sheep. All what a shepherd has to do. And in the first place, a shepherd is responsible for the food of the flock. They need food. Healthy food. Nice food. Sweet food. Sometimes bitter. Sometimes salt. That's what's good for them. Feed my sheep. What's the feed of the flock of Christ? What kind of food they need? Well, they need in the first place the Word of God, the whole counsel of God. The Word in all His fullness, in all His sureness, hold the minister. Who sows doubt about any part of the Word of God. God shall do of His part. The Word of God is faithful. We can trust in it wholly. We have to preach it as the Word of the living God. That gives the authority to our preaching. That lens comes in the consciences of our hearers. That's what we need, friends. Word of God. That's what you may expect. That's what you may pray. Oh Lord, give our minister that he preaches only thy word, thy full counsel, so that nothing shall be missed what's really important, nothing kept away. That's what the Apostle Paul said when he said farewell to his congregation of Ephesus. I've nothing kept back from the whole counsel of God. Blessed is the minister who can say that when he say farewell to his congregation. Nothing kept back. We need the Word of God. We must be fed by that precious Word of the living God. I want to mention some head points of it. The two ways. There is a lot of preaching with only one way. That's deceitful. That's not healthy food. Two ways. One narrow way to heaven. One broad way to hell. The absolutely need of changing of faith. The conversion. With that word began our own Lord his preaching. Convert and believe the gospel, for the kingdom of God has become near. Two ways. The three half points. I must know experimentally by the teaching of the Holy Spirit how great my misery is, what a great sinner I am before God, so that I am be humbled personally, that there is nothing in me, and only guilt and sin, no hope in myself. And the second, that we may know how we shall be loosed from our guilt and sin, that our eyes and hope and faith is fixed on Christ only, and that we in a living faith, living from out of Christ, bring forth fruits of thankfulness. Three head points must be very clearly, for they form the food of the flock of Christ. We have to preach to feed the flock with God himself. God the Father in his electing love, in his eternal sovereign love. God the Son in his love redeeming, in his redeeming love, the power of his blood, the power of his sacrifice. And God the Holy Spirit in his sanctifying love. That's eternal life, to know God. And that's the hunger of a living soul, God himself. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, to be fulfilled with God himself, to be fed with his word and with his person. The food is Christ himself. I am the living bread, the bread of life. Did you ever eat Christ in your life? Did you ever taste, my dear congregation, how sweet Christ is? This is my body broken for you. This is my blood shed for you. And then in the power of the Holy Spirit to taste that his meat is really food. That's unspeakable. That can only be experienced when we really eat Christ by faith. And there is such a tender union between him and our soul. And when we experience that really, then we know happy moments, the most happy moments of our life, in his house, at his table. And we always shall say, give me more from that bread. Give me more from Christ. Feed my sheep and the flock. They must eat. Are you hungry? We need hungry souls. And children has eaten a lot of other things. And it's time for eating. They can say, no, Mom, I don't want to eat now. I'm full already. When you come to the house of God, full with the things of this world, full with yourself, and then you go away. That was a nice sermon. Oh yes, I could listen very well. But did you eat? That's the question. Did you eat? You come here to eat every Sunday. You come here to drink. You must feel the power of the Word of God. The sweetness. The bitterness. Also, bitterness can be very healthy. Oh, my dear flock,
I wish that you shall eat the coming time, that Christ becomes in you, that you are united with Him, that you live with Him, that you grow in Him, that you bear fruits out of Him. That's the point. That shall be my pleasure, to see my children eating when Mother has arranged everything very well. Oh, what a pleasure when she sees her husband and children eating.
That's the pleasure of a minister too. When the word of God, when the bread of life is so sweet to our souls, then we can have moments that we say, "Oh Lord, let me stay here and not go to home. For thy house is my home. Thy courts, there I feel me the best." I remember me that in one of our Dutch congregations was a man, a godly man, attending the Lord's table. And he ate it, the bread of life. And he was made full is Christ. And he saw no man anymore. And he didn't see that the other people left the table. He stayed only alone sitting at the table. And an elder came and said, "Mister, go away to your seat, for the Lord's Supper is over now." And he did. And he went out of the church into the desert again. But he had tasted the sweetness of Christ, that had been made full of the love of Christ. All in the service of Christ is such a sweetness. There's nothing that can be compared with the sweetness of Christ. I hope we may experience it together, and that it shall be our prayer, that I shall be enabled by the Spirit to give you food, and that you are hungry, and that you shall eat. Children, young people, and older ones, so that we all become prepared for the great supper here above. Feed my sheep, keep my sheep. It's very difficult. It's really impossible in our own strengths. But when the love of Christ may be in our soul, then we cannot do otherwise. Then we have a loving care for the sheep and the flock of Christ, even for the smallest one. Also when they are gone far away. Oh, let that be our prayer, congregation, that we may be a little bit like Christ. That the love of Christ becomes visible in our ministry. That we take care for you, loving care, care for your souls, in the continuing prayer that the Lord may use us to your eternal salvation. 30 years the Lord gave me to labor in the ministry, and especially the last time when I say farewell to my own congregation, which I served almost 14 years. There were, by the grace of God, a lot of witnesses that the Lord blessed His word in a wonderful manner. And that makes me very little, very humble, that the Lord, He does it, and He is the same. So that we may obey His command in His power, by His grace. Feed my sheep, my sheep, not a sheep of men, not a sheep of ministers, but the sheep of Christ are his sheep. And he looks upon you in tender love, and he shall feed you by means of, but he himself shall do it. My sheep. Do you belong already to the sheep of Christ? Or is that your problem? Is that your sadness? I heard the gospel many times, and not yet am I really sure that I belong to his flock. That flock that knows his voice. My sheep know my voice, and they follow me. I remember on one occasion that I preached in my third congregation about these words. My sheep know my voice, and they follow me. And I came not further than these two words. My sheep. And the Lord came over, and I was standing on that occasion under an open hemel, an open heaven. And something from eternity came into time. And there was such a fullness of the love of Christ in that service that I began to think at the moment, I must stop. I must continue with my sermon. For I have only explained these two words, my sheep. And I looked on my watch and I had to say amen. For it was time. There was a moment, no time. In heaven there shall be no time. My sheep, bought by him, drawn by him. How wonderful. But when you are not the sheep of Christ, when you know a lot of the gospel, when you attend church every week, and you are not the sheep of Christ, is there no hope for you then? There is. There is. For the good shepherd is going on. As long as the gospel is preached unto you, the Lord shall work his wondrous work of salvation. And the number is growing. With the church, it goes so very well. Church is always growing. Every day there comes a lot through all the world, which hear in a saving manner the voice of the good shepherd and begin to follow him irresistibly drawn by his power and love. Therefore the Lord sent out his preachers, his ministers. And he says, and other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. There shall be one fold and one shepherd. And so the flock of Christ grows to his fullness in number, in love, in glory, till we are there where the Lord shall be all in all, one flock, one shepherd, to all eternity filled with the love of God the Father, the love of God the Son, the love of God, the Holy Spirit, with one great desire, blessing and honor and glory and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne and unto the Lamb forever and ever. Amen.
O Lord, we thank thy holy name for everything we received out of thy hands this night, in the preaching and the hearing, of thy glorious gospel, for the blessing that we became united as a congregation and a pastor, united in the bonds and the love of Christ, that thou callest and sendest us. O Lord, give us a blessed time to thy glory, that there may be many hungry seals and come more and more, and that a flock may be fed by that precious food, Jesus, and him crucified. O Lord, pardon all our sins, all soul from this night. Bless each of us. We pray all soul for our gay congregation, Waarder, which we left. And we pray for them, O Lord, grant them a new servant, a man of God, called and sent by thee. O Lord, help us, and give us to seek thy glory. Here is only for the Redeemer's sake. Amen.
I would like to thank Pastor Hannibal for your love and service and coming tonight to administer the form. And I would like to also thank the representatives of the classes of South Grand Rapids of the RCA for your service tonight and joining us. And I would also like to ask if Elder Hank Rose would come forward. We have, over the years, shared a special relationship with our sister church, Springford Reformed, and we're glad that many from Springford could be here tonight. Elder Rose.
I would like to bring the greetings from the congregation of the Springford Reformed Church. We wish Reverend Budding, as well as the congregation of the Providence Reformed Church, God's blessing concerning his wish in his concerning his work in his vineyard here in North America. We are very happy for the congregation of the Providence Reformed Church that the Lord has sent an under shepherd to the congregation, and hope and pray that the Lord may bless this relationship, that it may be for the growing of his church and the glory of his name. We also wish that the relationship between our both congregations stay the same, that we may help each other in this difficult dark time dealing with the issues that came upon us from in and outside the RCA. Once more, we wish Pastor Budding the Lord's blessing with feeding his sheep. And the congregation of the Providence Reformed Church to accept the feed.
And Reverend Budding, we, on behalf of the congregation, want to thank the Lord for sending you and Mrs. Budding. And I would like to read some verses from Psalm 145, verses 8 and 9. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great mercy. The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. And then in verses 15 and 16, the eyes of all wait upon thee, and thou givest them their meat in due season. Thou openest thine hand and satisfiest the desire of every living thing. Well, the Lord gave us a good desire, to desire Christ and to desire one of his under-shepherds to lead this congregation in his word, in the pastures of his word. And we really may acknowledge his mercy, for by nature we would only desire that which the prodigal son desired, to have the gifts to satisfy our lusts and to have nothing of the giver. But God is a complete Savior, and he gave those good desires. And we know from Revelation that as the Lord speaks of the stars, the seven stars in his hand, that those are the angels or the messengers of the churches, and he has them and he sends them and he uses them. And it's our desire that God would be pleased for Christ's sake to use you, to stand in his stead, to beseech sinners to be reconciled to him by his blood, here in this congregation, in this neighborhood, in the RCA, in Grand Rapids, and wherever the Lord would use his own word by your mouth and heart. May the Lord bless you.